Well, good morning, beloved ones. Once again, this is so great to be here in this moment. You know, everything is, turn to somebody and tell them everything is in divine order. Everything is in divine order. Everything is in divine order. And you know how I know that's true for today? Because I did not have an opportunity to read the daily word. Did someone read the daily word today? Earlier? Okay, well, see, only a few of you said that that means you weren't here when it was read. So I was going to go into my talk this morning, and something said, look at the daily word, because they always put it here. So I looked at it, and the word for today is prosperity. So I want to read this, because I think it's just for us. That's how the daily word works sometimes. When you read it, it's just for you in that day. So the word is today is prosperity, and the affirmation says, the spiritual ethers are filled with plenty. I am prosperous. That's the affirmation. The spiritual ethers are filled with plenty. I am prosperous. In one of his early lesson series, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore introduced a set of affirmations to be repeated daily in the silence. The spiritual ethers are filled with plenty. Prosperity fills the air, and I have abundance for every need. Following Fillmore's example, I repeat these affirmations three times, unifying myself with the manifesting power of the divine within. I then turn my attention inward and silently let the prayer permeate my consciousness and transform any thoughts of lack. As affirmations of plenty inhabit the deepest part of me, I attract and embrace bountiful blessings. I draw forth from the ethers prosperity that fills my life. And the scripture comes from Philippians 4:18. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied. Now, I've read the scripture. I have not read this one, so I have to go and see which version this is from. But isn't that powerful? I have been paid in full. I have more than enough, and I am fully satisfied. This is powerful stuff. So I think we should do what this says, and three times daily, maybe for the rest of the week, go get your daily word, and you can affirm these affirmations. The spiritual ethers are filled with plenty. Prosperity fills the air, and I have abundance for every need. Ah. So are you feeling prosperous? I hope so, because that is part of the process for building a prosperity consciousness, among other things, but feeling prosperous is important. You see, it's hard to be it, whatever the it is hard to be it or have it or do it if you don't feel it, right? You can't be it if you don't feel it. You can't have it if you don't feel it. You can't do it if you don't feel it. And sometimes it is hard to feel it if you don't believe it, right? If you don't believe it, you're not going to necessarily be able to feel it. And if you can't feel it, you're not going to have, be, or do it. So let's see if we can work on our belief factor this morning, all right? And just a quick review, we're in the midst of a series on building a prosperity consciousness based on the books by Prosperity by Charles Fillmore and the book Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth. So we're looking at this whole concept of prosperity. Now, we already established and we already know that prosperity is more than things, right? So we get that out of the way. It's more that we're talking about more than things, although things certainly are a part of one's prosperity. So it's not that we shouldn't have things or enjoy things, But it's just a matter of keeping our priorities in balance and clear. So we know that it's more than things. It's really about being in the flow of God's abundance. That's what the word affluence means, being in the flow of abundance. So it's about being in the flow of God's abundance, or being in the flow of God's energy and God's substance. And this substance, or as I like to call it, this stuff of God that is flowing all around us, this stuff of God is all around, and it is waiting for our call. Right? It's waiting for our call to bring this substance into visibility, because it is the invisible creative energy. This substance is this invisible creative energy that lies in back of everything and underneath everything, right? It's the Spirit of God in back of everything, underneath everything, that gives it its foundation. And so it is about, how do we bring this to bear? We can lay hold of this substance through our work in consciousness. We established that last week, the week before last, that consciousness was key. We're going to lay hold of this invisible substance through our work in consciousness. Because in fact, all things come into being, or all things come into manifestation. They come forth through the laws of consciousness. Right? It's what we hold in our hearts and in our minds, and the process, the creative process of holding those thoughts, that will allow them to gather this substance into form and then move forth. And so the quality of our work in consciousness will also determine the quality of our experiences. The quality of our consciousness will also determine the quality of our ability to demonstrate, not only according to our faith, but according to the thoughts and feelings and attitudes and perceptions we are holding in consciousness. So now, if this God stuff, or this stuff of God, this creative energy and substance is all around us, the question really becomes, how do we bring it forth, right? How do I bring it to, or get it to show up as my desired good, as that which I'm seeking? Well, let's start with this premise. We're going to start with the basic premise of economics, basic economics, which is founded on the law of supply and demand. We all know that, right? That's what it is. You don't have to know, because economics is kind of hard when you get into it, but the basics of it, if we just break it all down, it's about the law of supply and demand. Right? Meaning that if the supply is high and the demand is low, then that's going to produce one effect. Or vice versa, if the supply is low and the demand is high, that'll produce an effect, a certain effect. Or if the supply is equal and the demand is equal, that too produces a certain effect. So the point is, any combinations of ratio between supply and demand is going to have an impact upon your experience, your economic sense of well-being, right? Whether you or lack thereof. So we understand that. But considering that we are talking about spiritual economics, the relationship between those two varies a little bit. And the ratio doesn't really matter whether the supply is high or low, because in spirit and in truth, we know that the supply is always infinite, right? There is always a supply to meet every need. There isn't an opportunity or there isn't an experience, and when the supply of God is somehow low on what we might need, right? So I'm not sure who, there we go. We're going to bless that little soul because she's demanding something, needs some kind of supply of something, right? That's what little ones do. When they can't express what their need is, they begin to demand it through their vocal expression. So we bless her. And we know her needs are already met in spirit. So here's the thing. What we're looking at for us is that we must understand God as source. And God is the source. This is an affirmation we like to say. God is the source for my every supply and need, right? God is the supply for my every need. God is the source for my every need. And if that is the case, God is what we consider source, what we consider supply, then God is not limited, which means what? Source cannot be limited. Supply cannot be limited. So the equation, the economic, spiritual economic, vastly different than your regular economics. Because we're starting with the good is already present. So if that is true, if the supply is infinite, it is readily available, it is here and now, in the fullness, then everything else must hinge upon the demand portion. It must somehow hinge upon our ability to demand, or as we like to say in truth, to ask. Because we don't want to really demand it. We don't have to demand that God gives us anything. All we need to do is ask. Right? So we equate asking with demanding. So there must be something then with this, our capacity to ask. Ask in word. Ask in consciousness. Because every time that we speak the word, we're asking. Every time we hold the thought in consciousness, you're asking. So sometimes you may be asking for things that you're not even aware you're asking for. But you're asking, okay? So it has to do with, well, we've got to figure out if there's something related to the asking, then why don't I always have? Because you're probably saying, look, I ask God, I ask all the time. Right? I'm always asking, and yet nothing seems to happen. Have you ever felt like that? I'm asking and not necessarily receiving. Well, obviously, there must be something related to how we ask. There has to be something more to it. And Jesus, the Christ, the master teacher, the way shower, gives us a tremendous hint when he says this. He said, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. And I looked at, I want to see how grammatically it was phrased in the Bible. And it says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, comma, believing, comma, you will receive. There it is. So what we know, the qualifier is what? Believing. And then there's also praying, but that's another talk. I'll do that one later. But whatever you ask, because an asking really is praying, affirming and stating, and claiming. But whatever you ask, so it has something to do, the qualifier has to do with your believing, your believability. If your asking is not in alignment with your belief, there's going to be a problem in your demonstration. It's as simple as that. If your asking is not in alignment with your belief, there will be a challenge to your demonstration, to your ability to bring forth. Now, this statement that Jesus makes actually comes, that was found in Matthew 21, verse 22. But in Matthew 21, verse 21 to 22, it says this, and he's talking, he has just finished performing a miracle. Actually, it is when he has just cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree withers. And again, that's a whole nother talk. He didn't curse it because he didn't like the fig tree. It was not a bad fig tree, but it was out of order. It wasn't producing the figs that it should have at that particular season. So, another thing. But he's just performed that. And then this is what he says to his disciples. He says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more. He says, you can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Now that's powerful, but let's be honest. How many of you really, truly, unequivocally believe whatever you say, however that goes, absolutely, completely believe that you can say to a mountain, be cast into the sea, and that it will be done. How many of you absolutely believe that? Good. We're honest. Okay? We're honest. Let's be honest. I would love to be able to do that. You see? But here's the thing. We are so used to believing in the it's not possible scenario that it is hard for us to grasp and to lay hold of the possible. We just say, immediately when there's something so big, we say, oh, this is too big. No, this is not possible. Even though Jesus said, if you believe, you can do it. But we say, well, it's not possible. So I want to ask you, how many of you believe that God can do all things? All right. Most of you. Now, those of you who don't believe that, then you need to listen up. So we believe that God can do all things, even what? The impossible. For the scripture says that all things are possible to God. There's nothing that is. So we believe that, right? Oh, God can do the impossible. But we are a different story, right? That's what we say. Oh, God can do, but wait a minute now. When you come, I'm a different story. We're a different story. And here's the rub, friends. It's not that we don't have faith in God, because we do. What is troubling is that we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe in our own spiritual abilities and spiritual capabilities that even Jesus said we could do and we could have and be. We don't believe in that. You see, we want the truth and the things that the truth will produce, but we can't handle the truth. That's the truth, right? We want all these things, but it's hard for us to really handle the truth. Oh, yeah, I want to have all the fruits of the Spirit. But moving a mountain, well, I'm not so sure I can do that. See, we've got to work on our knowledge, not just of God, but work on the knowledge of our own divine connection to God. We have to work on our own expression as offsprings of God, offsprings of the Creator. We've got to stop seeing ourselves as separate and apart from God, or from anything that God is, or anything that God does, or anything that God has, or anything that God expresses. We have to stop separating ourselves in that capacity and begin to see ourselves as one with the divine, one with God. Right? So what happens is you are one with the divine. You are divine. And I'll even go so far as to say you are the divine. Now turn to somebody and tell them you are divine. You are divine. That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Now turn to them and tell them you are the divine. Now, usually that creates a little something, right? Doesn't it create a little, just a little twist? You're like, I don't know, but that I can say to somebody, you are divine, because I think I'm saying something cute. You're divine, you're lovely, you're wonderful. But when I put the V in there, then it's like, wait a minute now. You are the divine. But we must get comfortable with understanding that the created cannot be separated from the Creator. We are one with God. So we've got to really work on our believability and helping to establish our oneness, to believe that we are one with the divine, we are one with God, one with all that God is, really helps to work on our believability levels. Because for some reason, you know, we think that it's easy for us to believe in the small things. We can generate parking spaces, right? How many of us easily generate a parking space? Yeah. Okay, God, I want a parking space right in front. And we get it. We have it, right? But generating the capacity to move mountains, oh, that's a different story. That's what we say, right? I can generate a parking space, but moving a mountain, that's a different story. But the truth of the matter is, friends, it is not a different story. It is not, because the principles, the same principles that you utilize to generate a parking space can be used to generate the ability to move a mountain. It is the same. The only difference is in the degree of your believability. Not in the ability, but in your believability. When we don't believe it, it's not going to happen, right? The mountain is too big. This is a big problem. This is something only God can handle. And God's saying, I'm handling it through you. I need you to believe, not just in me, but to believe in your ability as being an offspring, an emanation, an endowed, powerful, created being of me, an expression of me. I need you to get on board with that. And so we simply need more practice in upping our believability, right? We need to up our believability. So I'm saying this, let's start with maybe some small things and build up to bigger things. Stretton Smith talks about this in his 4T prosperity class and how do you stretch, you know, your believability. Don't start in thinking that I'm going to generate, he says, enough whipped cream to fill the Grand Canyon. He said, don't start there because already you don't believe that. So you need to, you start with something that is believable for you and you begin to grow in your capacity to believe so that the small things even move into the greater things. Because Jesus said, even what greater things than these shall you do? But we can't start with the greater because our consciousness is not there yet. We're going to start with where we are and move up to the greater things. Now, when you begin to express a desire or a prayer, or an affirmation, I want you to check to see if you are saying yes to that desire. So sometimes we'll pray and whatever and affirm, but we don't have a yes behind it. We might even have a little no and a little doubt, right? So we need to check to see if we're saying yes to that desire, because yes is a strong positive vibration that will raise your believability level. In other words, it will help you to feel your desires. It'll help you to feel your words, to feel your wants when you can say yes. Because if you can feel a yes to your prayers, then you're halfway there. Know this, your words can tell a lie, but your feelings will always tell you the truth. So you need to be able to know, let me check to see if I really feel a yes to this prayer. If I'm feeling a yes to my words. If I'm feeling a yes to what I'm saying. Because when you can get to that yes, then you have something. So we need to practice saying yes after you've said a prayer. Yes after you've affirmed something. Yes. Say yes until you can feel a rise in your vibration. I have a couple of prayer partners, and one of them, you know, we pray and we express very fully whatever the prayer is. We speak the word for one another. And usually, oftentimes, one of us will say, oh, I felt that. I could feel that. That's a good thing. When you hear the words and you're feeling the vibration, that's a prayer that's going to manifest easily and fully. So we need to practice saying yes. Let me hear you say yes.
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 Yes. Yes. See, there's a vibration to that yes. Can you feel that vibration? There's a power in the yes. So when you're praying and doing your work, remember to just say yes. After your prayer, yes, just get into that vibration, because it's a feeling that will then generate and begin to, as the scripture likes to say, or it begins to move energy, moves that spiritual energy that's in the ethers. It stirs it up. It stirs up the substance. It starts gathering that substance around that prayer, around those words, so the yes, 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 and it begins to gather enough so that it will manifest. So believing, having no doubt, and faith are key to manifesting something. And if there's something off, a little off in any of those, in your believability, your faith, or whatever, it's going to affect your results. So don't go blaming God for not hearing you and not answering. You need to check yourself. Check your consciousness. Are you in alignment with what you say and what you believe? Because it's really not what you say, but what you believe that counts, right? Because we say a lot of things. We affirm, we utter prayers, we speak great words and use great words, and we even speak the truth. But if you do not believe it, it is all for naught. And even if you doubt it for a second, it will nullify your efforts. You got to then start all over and believe it again and affirm it again. See, because if you affirm it and pray it and do it, and then you 2 seconds later say, oh, well, you don't worry, you have nullified that. So start again, say it again, but with belief. You practice this. So there's something else we can do to practice strengthening. I'm thinking, what can we do to practice strengthening our belief and strengthening our faith? And here's what any metaphysician will tell you to do. There's several things, but we can start with seeing. Start with seeing. The world says seeing is believing. Or we say, I'll believe it when I what? See it. That's the world's way. But in truth, we say that believing is seeing. Meaning, when you believe it, then you'll see it. Big difference. So we need to work on our believability and how we're seeing things and when are we seeing. Are we seeing it? Do we need to see it before we believe it, or do we believe it before we see it? Eric Butterworth, who was my wonderful minister, and he's the author of Spiritual Economics, he said this. He was famous for saying that we should not be trying to set things right. We should be trying to do what? See things rightly. Stop trying to set things right out here and begin to see things rightly within you. We have to practice seeing things as we desire them, seeing things as they are in truth and not as they are showing up in the realm of appearances. So when you open your wallet and you don't see anything, you have to stop seeing the nothingness and start seeing the fullness. Because when you can open your wallet and see the fullness of God's abundance, regardless of what is in there, then you have something. You are seeing rightly. Now, can you see in your mind's eye your desires manifested? Can you perceive it? Can you pre-see it? Because to perceive is to pre-see. Can you pre-see it before it shows up in the physical? Because this part is so important with working on your consciousness and working with the spiritual laws of prosperity and the spiritual laws of anything, of health, whatever. It's very important. Can you see it before it has manifested in the physical? Because this pre-seeing, or your ability to perceive a thing, is directly related to your faith capacity. We all know the biblical definition of faith, right? Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, which is great because it puts us in connection with the substance of God, and it puts us in the, it helps us to value the connection of the invisible realm of things not seen, which is all well and good and real. But here's a definition that we have in New Thought for faith, a metaphysical definition. And Charles Fillmore says this. He said, faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. The perceiving power of the mind, your ability to perceive something, link it with your ability, there's a power to then shape this substance, because the substance of God is what? It's everywhere. But it's formless, right? Invisible. And we have to, through our faith, we shape it. We give it form, right? So faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with a power to shape this substance. We can actually give shape and form to the substance of God by seeing it in our mind's eye, by perceiving it in our consciousness. So can you see your good? Can you see it and then hold it in consciousness? Because if you can see it and perceive it and do not doubt it, it will manifest. It takes your ability to hold it, to see it, and then to hold that vision, hold that image, hold that picture in your mind's eye until it begins to gather energy around it. And when it begins to gather energy, it must become evident. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Those things are not seen will become evident to you. They'll become manifest to you. They will begin to come into the visible realm. So we need to practice this whole thing of seeing with the inner eye, maintaining our vision as a way to build up our faith. Because when your inner vision is strong, your manifestation will be assured. But we have to keep our priorities straight at all times. Because, you know, we can go and vision, you know, a new car, a new house, a new mate, whatever. That's okay. Those things work. But that's not our priority. Don't put the cart before the horse. Right? But it does work because you can visualize anything. And once you hold it enough, it moves into the subconscious. Things begin to outpicture themselves. That's what the subconscious does. So the process works, but you need to keep your priorities straight. We want to keep our priorities because it's not just about things. Eric Butterworth says this in closing. He says this on page 54. He says, in spiritual economics, he said, let's be clear. We're not talking about seeing things, cars, houses, jobs, jewels, and so forth, but rather seeing from a consciousness of ever-present substance, which will become the magnetic force. See, when you start to see substance all around you, it becomes a magnetic force. And if it's a magnetic force that draws the things to you, but without any of them ever becoming the object of your life. See, you don't have to seek the things and seek the things. When you understand to begin to see the substance of God, the presence of God all around, and hold to that thought, that vibration, that energy, you become a magnetic force that all of a sudden the things just come to you. Boom. You need a house, the house comes, a car comes, everything just comes. Because it is your seeing, it is your holding, it is your vibration that becomes this magnetic field that draws your good to you. That's the process. So we want to see God everywhere. We want to see good everywhere. This is why we in New Thought are very positive in our orientation. We're going to see, look for the good and praise it. This may feel like a horrible situation. A tragic situation, devastating situation. That's fine, but you better look for the good in it and praise it. That's how you move it into being. So you don't have to say, I would say that everything is not good, but there is good in everything. So I can say, you know, thank you, God, that I can see the good in this. Find it, because this is a way to hold on to that and to bring this good into manifestation. So we don't have to try to set things right, but we want to practice seeing them rightly. We want to see them as they are in truth. See it as it is in spirit. And then if you can see the desired outcome as you want, you can see it in your heart, see it in your soul, feel it, feel it, feel it, see it, feel it, believe it, think it, be it. It will be so for you. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Do you believe this?
Yes.
Do you believe this?
Yes.
Then so be it. Blessings.
Namaste. 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 Namaste.